Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber. He is Jim Cramer. We are live from Postland at the New York Stock Exchange. Hey, look, there's Carl Quintanilla. He's in Boulder, Colorado. That's ahead of tonight's premiere of Cities of Success, Denver and Boulder, which airs at 10 p.m. Eastern. Let's give you a look at futures right now. Of course, we get ready to begin trading 30 minutes from now. We're looking for, what do you want to call that? That's
PPI,
barely a higher
PPI
open.
PPI scooped.
PPI, yeah.
Scooped all the bears, man.
That's where our roadmap begins this morning. The inflation picture, of course, is what we're talking about there. We've got wholesale prices increasing less than expected, as Jim just said. Two banks also lowering their rate cut expectations. That's off of yesterday's CPI news. We're keeping an eye on big tech as well. NVIDIA shares, they're bouncing ahead of the open. JP Morgan lowering its Apple price target. And you just heard from Amazon's Andy Jassy saying so many different things, including the fact that he's committed to cost cutting while investing in AI. Plenty of other stocks to track this morning. Nike, Airbnb, Chevron, Occidental. We'll go through all the upgrades and downgrades. But let's get to the broader market here. First, just let's go get a reaction to PPI after yesterday's sell-off on the CPI.
Jim. Well, I mean, there was a lot to like. I think there's a lot of confusion about these numbers. I find that what's happened is that yesterday there were a lot of mistakes in the data.
What do you mean by the mistakes?
They're not taking into account a lot of e-com. For instance, they had apparel up, but you know, the largest seller of apparel after Amazon is Temu. And Temu's lowered the price of apparel dramatically.
Temu's lowered the price. And Jassy just said consumers are trading down. I heard him say that at the very top of the interview with Andrew.
And they're getting good value. I mean, the average price of yesterday of the footwear on Temu was 89 cents. I mean, you know, how could you not include this in the CPI? PPI, I think, is a little more intelligent and more put together. By the way, food was up big because the avian flu. Yeah. I mean, I think if you look at the way that they do that, the Labor Department, I mean, I would go in there, I would clean house. I mean, I would do a little deadwood chainsaw.
Yeah.
And what else here? I mean, because I think that I'd like to go to Carl, because I need some optimism right now.
Well, you're not going to get it from Carl now.
No, why not? That sunrise scene?
He looked great, as always.
But that's optimism.
That's optimism?
I was trying to get some optimism.
He's going to be with Cities of Success tonight
at
10 o'clock.
What are you saying? It's skewed? Are you saying the deck's stacked?
No, but what I think is interesting is you seem to want to emphasize the PPI today as opposed to the CPI tomorrow.
Well, because I think
meanwhile,
we
had a significant sell-off as a result of that CPI number.
Right.
Everybody now coming way back on their expectations for rate cuts during the course of this year. I don't know if many are now coalescing around one or two. Certainly not June.
Well, I just think that
PPI number's not going to change that, is it?
We got to keep perspective here. On if we didn't have these aggressive projections on rate cuts, we would be like, okay, not great. But let me tell you something. You raise the thing that worries me most is rent and housing. This, remember, housing's out of the CPI because in 1980 they were worried about housing inflation. They wanted to make the number look big. We have an immigration problem, and we also, if we raise rates, then the affordability of housing is going to get even worse. So the Fed's in a box on housing.
Some people would also say the Fed's, it's not their problem, but, I mean, Richard Fisher was on yesterday talking about it again. That auction yesterday, by the way, didn't go as well
the
as it might
was
have.
We had a little dispute
meaning
there
concerns
on our own
about so much supply to help fund our deficits and not enough demand. And that's a concern as well this year. Do you share that concern?
No, I am concerned about that because huge supply. I mean, just dramatic supply. And our man in Chicago, he's grading real hard. Santelli's grading real hard. I mean,
Santelli is whatting real hard?
He's grading really hard.
Grading.
He's grading really hard.
Not grating.
He's grading. No,
with a D.
Watch yourself. With a D, not a T. I'm not in Englewood.
I'm just trying to figure out what
matters.
You're
what matters to me here is that when I got a D once in biology, I went to see the professor, Professor Trivers.
Yes.
He asked me how I'd done all my life. I said, I've got nothing but A's. He goes, this is going to be a great learning lesson for you, a D. I feel that this D was a great learning lesson for people. Let's not forget that supply is probably more important than C.
In terms of the grade yesterday on that auction,
that was the,
is what
I
we're
think
talking
the real
about.
Negative.
Again, we're talking about the Treasury market here, which obviously is very important for the performance of the equity market, at least it was yesterday, with rates moving higher and stocks moving
Thank heavens we offer a better rate than a lot of other parts of the country.
There's a look at the 10-year.
All
we're
right.
5.38.
Oh, come on, David. You've been around when the 10-year was 7.9.
I have.
You know, enough.
I actually been around when it was a lot higher
than
that.
I remember when you were wearing that jacket. It was 7.9. I think it just must be poly.
In the late 70s. With Volcker, I was around, sure.
My two girlfriends
were hitting
18%. Polly and Esther, right there.
Polly and Esther,
Two girlfriends in that jacket.
Yeah.
To think that Andrews... Amazon made me feel really great.
It did. Why?
Why? Because spending on AI, he obviously has a very positive view on AI. A lot of people yesterday were in AI bubbleville. You ever notice when everything's bad, it's like people coming out and say, before I get it to CPI, let me just tell you what a joke AI is. Yesterday, people reacted to the futures, and I hate that. Have some gumption. Have some backbone.
Two excerpts from Andy Jassy's interview. The first on the subject more of what we've been talking about, which is the consumer and spending, given CPI yesterday, PPI today. Let's take a listen to what Jassy had to say, of course, which is from what is the largest marketplace out there for many Americans.
It's going to take a lot for people not to buy detergent or shampoo or things like that. And you can see that in the growth of our everyday essentials business, which Q4 of 2023 was over 20% year over year. Some of that is because people are going to buy all the time, but some of that is just because of the speed that we have and we're getting to people so they consider us for more. But people are still, they are still buying. They're just being careful about what they shop for.
Kind of interesting, being more careful.
Well, look, when I was out there to talk to him, one of the things that it's just so easy to be careful because the head-to-head comparisons are just incredible. This is not like when you go to the supermarket and you gotta over here it's this and over there it's this and the sizes are different. I mean, the head-to-head is so easy. And remember, they put the Chinese on. One of the great things that Jassy did was say, you know what? I will compromise and charge a little more for Temu, but we'll give you a date of when it comes. And people turned out to care more about the date than it comes than the actual price.
Right.
I think I'm focused on Temu because it has 100 million people.
It does.
Which is, in this country, 100 million people do this Temu.
Yep.
Now, I tried
Temu.
I told you what
happened. As our viewers may
recall,
you tried buying your wife a bathing suit on Temu.
Yes. And,
which, as I have said previously, once again reiterate, was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard somebody try to do.
Listen to me. She's not a smoker, so we had no problem with the fireproofing thing. The only thing they left out of it was asbestos.
I continue to believe
it wasn't friable.
Secret
as long
way,
as it's not friable, it was cool.
A secret way of trying to see if you could get a divorce. It had to be.
It was black. It looked cool.
But your point is,
that
you're even going on Temu to take a look at some of the bargains.
I go into Temu constantly to see how much I overpay when I go to TJ Maxx.
Right. Is it really the same quality of stuff?
Well, kind of. They're both plastic.
TJ Maxx has some great stuff.
I listen to Jassy.
It's one of the great retailers in this country. As we point out, it's got a market cap so far above Target's, for example.
1,300 stores has been fantastic. But I think people are looking at Dove. They're not looking at Dove and looking at coal. I mean, they look at Dove and they look at, Ivory. I use Dove.
I'm going to use Jassy now to transition us to NVIDIA and to what we saw yesterday. Take a listen to what Jassy had to say in terms of, for example, the use of NVIDIA's chip by one of its bigger customers, Amazon.
Most of the early AI models have been built by NVIDIA, but supply is more scarce and people are concerned about cost. And so we've built our own custom silicon in AI. We've built a training chip called Trainium and an inference chip called Inferentia that are meaningfully more price performant than what you can find out there. So a lot of the training, a lot of the predictions are going to be done on those chips.
Which gets to big tech, which gets NVIDIA, which is up. It was up yesterday as well. But this, I don't know if it's a nascent concern, Jim, but you're going
to
start hearing
that
Alphabet and Amazon are designing and developing their own chips in some way to at least replace part of the NVIDIA ecosystem.
So let's go over what Jensen Huang said to me. He said, listen, it's terrific. that they're developing it, and we're working with them to develop.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things we have to separate, you know, Amazon Web Services is very different from actual Amazon. And Amazon Web Services is truly built on NVIDIA.
Right.
Okay. Away from that, you have a lot of good stuff that Amazon's doing. But Web Services is NVIDIA. And, you know, Jensen is not, you know, he always says, I come in peace. But he said to me, I hope they do a good job. They're my customer, and we'll help them in any way they can. You can't get the chips you want from Amazon. This is in many ways a defensive move. Because, I mean, from
NVIDIA, not
NVIDIA's
Amazon,
out.
Right.
NVIDIA's out. They're like, you know, this Blackwell's already sold through that they're coming out with September.
They haven't even come out with it yet.
It's sold
through.
So
they've got orders for Blackwell that obviously already.
So, I mean, let's just understand that a lot of us is trying to help people who cannot get enough. I mean, if we had Michael Dell on right now, I think Michael Dell would say, listen, we're doing pretty well. We got a lot of NVIDIA.
Right. Right.
And whoever gets the NVIDIA wins, but there's not enough NVIDIA.
It continues to be, right? There are simply the benefits to having the orders, having the ability to have the orders.
Why wouldn't Jensen say no comment if he had, why did he say, listen, we're trying to help them? Right. That's because he doesn't want anyone angry at him. You know, Zuckerberg, he has an amazing relationship with Zuckerberg.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And Zuckerberg wants all the chips he could get. Now, one of the things that Jensen said to me was that Zuckerberg would buy everything. Amazon would buy everything.
Right. So you don't question the continued demand for NVIDIA's product. And
no.
I come back yesterday when we had a discussion about it, the 28 multiple on calendar year 25 earnings.
It's just not an expensive stock.
Them not ever being able to meet demand at this point, one would anticipate the growth rate is still going to be pretty significant.
It will be. You know, this is selling, as of right now, it's at 26 times 2026 numbers.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Procter & Gamble is more expensive.
Yes.
You know, this is a technological marvel. And, you know, I just don't understand how people value it so inexpensively. And yet all I hear about is how expensive it is. It's a bubble. It's a bubble. It's a bubble. It's a bubble. Enough with the bubble. Can we go to Carl?
Yes, we can. Let's do that. Carl's in Colorado. He gives us a sneak peek of Cities of Success, Denver and Boulder premieres tonight. Carl.
David, you know, Jim's on the hunt for some optimism today. We should remember that the reason prices are so sticky in this country is because a lot of major metro areas are growing above trend. Tonight, we're going to take a look at that in Denver and Boulder with Cities of Success. We'll talk about it after the break.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Hey, welcome back to Squawk on the Street. We're in Boulder, Colorado this morning ahead of our series, the latest in our series tonight, Cities of Success, Denver and Boulder. Jim and David, I heard you guys talking about, you know, it's kind of an appropriate week to be doing this show tonight because A lot of worry about inflation in the markets, but a lot of that is the result of economic growth. I see Williams is out today calling for 2% full-year GDP, and that means a lot of American cities are growing above trend. Denver and Boulder offer a lot of examples about that. So we take a look at some of the policy decisions that have gone into play in bringing big employers to town. Historically, I'm sure you guys know, Denver and Boulder have been about old line industries, telecom and energy. It's much more now about quantum computing and life sciences and certainly aerospace. 191 companies here in the aerospace industry, some of them literally working on building gas stations for satellites in space. Now, in order to do all of that, you need a labor pool that is mature and ready to hire. And that's something we talked with Governor Jared Polis about. Take a listen.
Many employers are looking at workforce. Colorado shines. Great workforce. You people want to move here from other places, but we also have a great pre-existing workforce. So both, right? Number one, great low taxes, great positive regulatory environment, great quality of life. And yes, we're making progress on housing, but it may already be less expensive than some of the other markets you're in, right? If you're in New York, New Jersey, California. So we're going to become more competitive, and we're doubling down on that here.
They definitely are working on housing, guys. They need a lot of affordable housing. Right now, they're offering incentives to various developers. They've got as much housing under construction, guys, as Los Angeles, which has five times the population. The governor likes to talk about property taxes, says they're the 48th lowest in the country. Jim, just as one example, remember the other day when you took your belt off on the show?
Sure.
So I was speaking at the university. I was speaking at the university yesterday, and a viewer approached me, literally moved to Boulder to start an apparel company that does make leather belts. So I have this for you. I'm going to bring it back. They want David's belt size as well. I just thought that sort of crystallized exactly what we're talking about.
It really does. I think that the kind of people would be drawn to working on that, and then right behind you are some beautiful mountains where the Chautauqua is, and you're done at 4 and you go climb one of those mountains, which is just a total rush, and we can't do that here. I think the people who are creative and drawn these days to really interesting things like to go hiking or skiing at 5, and I think it's really one of the great things they offer there.
It's interesting. We do a bit on VC funding. A lot of VC has moved into the area, and they do say that, you're right, 20 years ago, we would have moved our startup here because we like the lifestyle, we like the 300 days of sunshine. Now it's really about the fact that the labor is first, the talent pool is here, and you have the added benefit of having these things, these mountains behind you, and the work from home, of course, remote work phenomenon has just accelerated that. But it's almost the inverse of what was classically the story, is that you move here for lifestyle. Now you're moving here for productivity.
Yeah. Can you find a place to live? Is that becoming more difficult? I'm sure that's part of your coverage as well.
Yeah. Diana Olick does a great piece on how quickly you can get affordable units built in a town with faster permitting and developer incentives. But that's really the key challenge. And we do take a look at not only the housing challenge, David, but the migrant challenge. 40,000 migrants have moved here. That's the highest per capita in the country for a major metro. So we try to look at both sides tonight.
Well, Carl, one of the things that I'm intrigued by is that there are companies that are headquartered in California, but the whole workforce is where you are.
That is true. That is true. And that is why a lot of the entrepreneurs here are thinking in terms of a new Silicon Valley. I think it's Senator Hickenlooper says it's not dog eat dog here when it comes to startups and tech. It's more like hunting like wolves in packs, trying to make the ecosystem work for you just as much as you're working for your own individual firm.
I love it.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Carl, looking forward to it, of course. Know we'll hear more from you during the course of the day. That's a nice shot, too.
Yeah, I love that shot.
Cities of Success tonight premieres tonight at 10 o'clock. All right, coming up right here, Jim's going to have a mad dash for us. We're going to count you down to an opening bell that is 10 minutes from now. Here's another look at futures. We are anticipating a higher open. We've got a lot more for you. Squawk on the Street is right back.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration. Our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Okay, it is time for a mad dash. We've got 7 minutes before we get to an opening bell. What do you got?
Constellation Brands, STZ, this morning reports numbers that I have been waiting for, frankly. We're talking about some depletion numbers, which is how you really measure whether the company's doing well. Modelo Especial, solid, 14% depletion growth. Pacifico, that's the brown bottle long neck, up 22%. These are extraordinary numbers, great cash flow. This stock has historically failed almost every single time. When they report their number, it opens up and then goes down. I don't know if that's going to happen this time.
Family and their control or not the control.
They brought out the Sands family.
And, you know, this thing every so often, Jim, comes around. It's like people want to make it a takeover target. I don't know who the buyer is.
There's no antitrust would never. I mean,
it's hard to imagine, right?
If iRobot can't get a bid.
Yeah.
No, you can't buy this. Remember, the whole giveaway here was that they got. Well, they got Corona from the Justice Department.
I mean, what helped create the success of this company was the forced divestiture from Anheuser-Busch.
It was the greatest giveaway in government history, I think. And but they had to give it to somebody. And this was a number that I think, I will say, was aided by a backlash against Bud Light.
Yes.
Which was the biggest beer.
Modelo's still number one.
Modelo's number one.
Yeah.
And the Modelo numbers are extraordinary. And don't forget, if you sell it right now, send me an invitation to your funeral because Cinco de Mayo is coming up, which is a beer day. Like, you can make a month. I made my month at Bar San Miguel on a beautiful day.
I miss Bar San Miguel.
I had to sell it because my wife, you can't own a liquor brand and also own a restaurant in this country.
Look who you have on
34.
Tonight. You got Bill Newlands on.
Well, yeah, because this is all self-promotional.
It's all synergy. It's all works.
There are people who I have on that are going to blow this network away, okay? And there are people who really, you won't believe who I've got coming.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, booking myself.
Thank you for that.
Just
but you think you don't think this is enough. You think it's got more to go.
I do think it's got more to go. It's been stalled. You know why it has more to go? Because Elliott has a board seat.
Oh, yeah, Elliott
does. They got a man
in
the room.
That's right.
And Elliott's established a level of discipline that is just blowout. And, David, I'm giving no credit to Canopy Growth, to CGC. No credit to cannabis whatsoever, even though people are telling me it's making
it's going to be a thing.
I had a guy who last night selling LSD, cannabis. I mean, Timothy Leary, where are you?
Yeah, where are you, Timothy Leary? All right, we got an opening bell 4.5 minutes from now. By the way, you can catch us anytime and anywhere. You can listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street opening bell podcast. We're back right after this. Well, as our viewers may know, a lot has been made of late of the moves in the Magnificent Seven stocks. Remember good old Fang, though? Remember that one? Apple is the only member of the group. I don't know what he's doing here.
This is
negative
Fang.
Territory.
This is a card game of Fang.
Oh, that's
these
Fang.
These are all positive pieces on Fang.
The remainder, other than
Meta,
Apple, all
Amazon.
Did you see that, Jim?
Right,
all double-digit gains.
Well, not
led by Meta, of course, which is up more than
45%. Down 10% for the year, though.
Yeah, it
but
is.
This is these are pieces that defend Fang right here. It is a full house. Incredible. Or if you're playing Rummy Cube, this is a run of the house.
Are you going back to Fang now, away from the Magnificent Seven?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, look,
just
right, here's a positive.
About
this
Nvidia,
is NVIDIA, why
else.
I love NVIDIA. This is why I love Amazon. Fantastic. This is why I love Meta. This is why I love Microsoft. This is why I love Alphabet. This is why I love Apple. Right now, this morning, because the street wants these stocks. They can't have this bull market end, David. The street won't let it end.
People didn't catch that. That was funny. By Andy Jassy. That was Andy Jassy's Amazon letter that Jim
was
saying.
That was a little jive.
It's like a buy on Amazon. All right, here's the opening bell. Take a look at more time of change. Yep. More green there than you might expect given where futures pointed to. Here's the big board doing the honors. Quantum computing company IonQ over at the NASDAQ SolarBank. That is a clean energy operator and developer. Recently listed as well. All right, where do you want to start?
Puppies. We need more listings. Where do I want to go? Okay, let's have a little negativity and trying to figure out exactly why it's so bad is CarMax. KMX. They failed to deliver in a lot of what CarMax, a big miss in how much money they spent to get used vehicles. And I'm trying to figure out how this factors in with possible CPI. CarMax down usually means that you're making less money in used cars, which means that used cars can be down in price, which means that something that says the CPI was a little too hot yesterday.
Right.
And it might get cooler. As a Professor Siegel said this morning, we should care about next CPI, not this CPI. It was very good this morning.
So we're already moving on from CPI
from yesterday. We are
moving on. We've moved on.
Well, yeah, we're moving on.
Okay.
No, let's talk about last night's
games. Is the equity market going to move on as well?
The equity market is concerned that we've been up so much this year already. I think people feel, come on, let's do for a break. I come back and say the banks go first. Jamie Dimon will speak first. He will talk about how rates should be higher. That's going to cast a negative pull. And then Bank of America will be positive. No one will care next week. Wells Fargo, I think Charlie Scharf will tell a darn good story. But, you know, people think he has commercial real estate problems. Au contraire, mon frère, he does not.
He doesn't.
No.
Wells Fargo does not have commercial real estate problems.
And it's been dogging him, and he doesn't have that. We're going to put that to bed.
Okay.
We're going to put that to bed.
But not with Charlie, because I don't believe you have an interview scheduled with him, do you?
David, I'm a master of disguise.
You are, but I don't believe it. There's nothing coming on that one. That said, I'm curious to see what you have to say about Wells. I'm also curious to see what the earnings reports look like.
Wells is still
when
down.
When it comes to capital
6 years ago, Wells
activity,
stock is down.
There is a story, at least emerging, by the way, that some of the banks are trying to reclaim territory lost to private credit by coming in and undercutting
but
on price.
Wasn't Jonathan Gray at the dinner last night?
Was
he at the dinner last night with the president?
I don't know. Was he?
I saw John Gray.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I saw Judy Marks from Otis.
The Fed chief
and Alyssa.
John Gray, of course, of Blackstone, the president.
David, that list is I'm upgrading every one of the stocks. If anyone was at that dinner,
yeah.
I'm taking the stock higher.
But my question was, we know M&A activity has still been relatively
meek.
Relatively
and you heard
meek.
Jassy, like if iRobot doesn't get done.
I don't know, really. Fixed income, currency, and commodities, what are our expectations when it comes to that, Jim?
Just okay, right?
Okay. But the lending business, perhaps a little bit of a tick. IPOs, not much.
M&A, not much.
No.
I mean, it shouldn't be a great bank.
I mean, we're talking a lot more here. Goldman and, to a lesser extent, Morgan, and then some of the smaller companies that obviously really rely on M&A, whether
Why did they not like that Jeffries quarter?
A Lazard, a PJT, a Moelis, you go on and on.
Well, look, I just think that the multiples have gone up, but they're still low. I mean,
yeah.
J.P. Morgan at 12, that's just not an expensive stock.
You know, the best performing big stock, big bank this year, though.
Well, I just, you know why I mentioned
it? There it is.
Because Jamie and Judy were at the dinner last night.
Who was at the dinner?
Jamie and Judy.
Oh.
This was a State Department with Japan, and this was a list of the who's who and who's not who. Larry Fink was there.
Right.
I'm saying that all those companies deserve a re-rating.
I see.
Because they're obviously in the room.
That's what we were looking at. Yes,
there you go. Tim Cook was there.
Yes. There's Larry Fink.
Larry Fink was there.
Right.
Will you look at this?
Reporting numbers tomorrow as well. Wait a second.
Is that Masa?
That's Masa.
Holy cow! Where's Sanjay Mehrotra? Oh, there's Judy and Jamie.
Masa was in town. Was on these
Will
shores.
Will you look at this? Is that Jeff Bezos?
That's quite a showing.
Oh yeah, great showing.
Who's that?
Is that Brad? This thing's amazing. You got to take all these stocks up, David.
Oh look who it is! It's the chair.
That's Jay and Alyssa.
Chair.
Fantastic.
Everybody's looking so sharp.
Oh, no. He's a very debonair
guy. Run it again. All right,
he's
we don't need to keep running it now.
Where's Sanjay Mehrotra? Cool, his stock's up more than anybody.
Larry had to walk in alone.
Really? Larry's the best. Where's Sanjay Mehrotra and his wife, who are dynamite? Micron's up a lot. I would have put Sanjay in that list. Okay, Arvind Krishna's up a lot. Why did we show him?
Masa was walking
in. I mean, come on. Let's go with the hitters.
All right, you got anything else to talk about stock-wise?
I was so good on that.
You were great. Apple, Meta, Alphabet, Amazon, and Microsoft are all
up. You bet. Now, Meta.
Okay,
man, I got a migraine. That's killer.
Yeah, that's
Meta, all right. Another one where they're saying, hey, look out. They're developing their own chips. Meta wants everything that Jensen has. So, yes, they have to develop their own chips. Gosh darn it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on a new hack here about Microsoft. Working on that, too. I got a lot of stuff, David.
Really? You got a lot of stuff?
Oh, man. We're just beginning. MedTech. I see a lot of good news. MedTech. Visa and MasterCard. Did anyone ever say a bad word about those two? Hold it, David. Stop trading. Warner Brothers Discovery. Positive.
Let me see that.
It's electric.
Oh, that's Jessica Reif. Look at that.
Jessica Reif.
Ehrlich.
Excuse me.
You're welcome.
Please.
Well, yesterday, as were many of the companies that have heavy debt loads, Warner Brothers Discovery shares were down. Today they're rebounding a bit to the tune of over 2%.
Do you see this Disney movie?
There's got to be there's algorithms out there, Jim, that anytime rates move appreciably higher, it sell
all the high
high leverage companies.
No, you're right.
And they all go down.
Explain it to people outside, because what's happened is that there really is a program which just says if there's an elevated debt, certain number of turns, those stocks should be sold.
What we also need to sometimes remember is the machines, to a certain extent, run this market. And when I say that, I'm talking about the algorithms that are run by the giant complexes such as Two Sigma, D.E. Right. Shaw, Renaissance, Citadel. I think we've hit.
It's why
72 has
why
a big part of it.
Money, I say, please don't try to.
The quants, as we
don't
like
trade, people. Please don't trade, because you're up against these people.
They are such. You know, we don't come back to it that often. They are such a large percentage of the overall volume.
Oh, gigantic! That's why you can stay away and just try to evaluate good companies for long term. And periodically, there'll be pieces like the Nike upgrade this morning. It'll be like doesn't fit the algo. But what you want to do is try to be away from the beaten track if you're a person at home. Try to find which one of these stocks is unusual and that the machines just automatically say sell, but maybe they shouldn't be sold.
Right.
I mean, that's what people at home
machines,
should do.
Obviously, you've got rocket scientists, literally, who program and spend many, many hours coming up with the algorithms that they think are unique.
You're the only guy who talks about it.
That
you can't
link
beat
certain things in the market to other things and therefore say, if this happens, that happens, that happens, do this.
Thank heavens that you're saying it.
Always worth mentioning, as we have a NASDAQ that is up 0.41%. I don't know, you know, Jim, are we just going to sort of trade around here for quite some time?
Well, there'll be something. I don't want to say something that
about inflation and therefore rates.
I think that a lot of people, in the end of the day yesterday, there was a move down, second leg down, and it coincided with stories about U.S. intelligence saying that there'd be an attack on Israel from Iran. That's what
saw moved. That.
That's what moved us down in the late afternoon.
You surprised, by the way, that the markets overall have just shrugged off the level of hostility in general? I mean, in terms of Ukraine, which continues to be an all-out war.
Yeah, and it looks like Ukraine's
not to mention,
now,
obviously, what's going on in the
Ukraine
Middle East.
If this was 1943, we would say that Ukraine's losing.
Yeah.
Not unlike what was happening in Russia last in 43. I do think, David, that there's a war premium to oil, and that seems to be the only place that really is
that
impacting
it shows up,
the stock
right?
market.
Yeah,
and I think that maybe is the market callous, or does the market just say, look, what does that have to do with the price-earnings ratio of Bristol Myers?
Not much. Not much.
What do you got for me? Yeah, Paramount?
I got Paramount. You know, Jim, it's funny. I know Paramount is a small, relatively small company. The amount of interest in it is incredible. I have to tell you, there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't get a number of phone calls from people who I haven't heard from in a little while. Who want to? What's going on?
I mean, I read my great friend Jim Stewart's book about it.
Yes,
and I keep saying, well, I want more on Shari.
Yeah.
What does Shari think?
Let me give you a quick favor report on what's going on right now, because it is interesting. We are in that 30-day exclusive period, of course, that will expire actually in early May, in which David Ellison, along with his partners at the private equity firm Redbird, are negotiating a transaction under which, as I've said any number of times, but of course is worth coming back to, that would involve both buying National Amusements, where the control stock is held, and Shari Redstone would sell it. They've already agreed, is my understanding, I think others may have reported this, to a price there. That was done. That was done actually months ago. Still subject to due diligence, but they've agreed. The key, though, is the negotiations between this buying group and Paramount itself and the special committee, of course, for the board of directors. By the way, the big story that Julia has been covering, for example, is the fact that four directors on Paramount's board are going to step aside at the annual meeting. But what I'm going to come back to, Jim, is the deal itself, because you've already had a number of shareholders coming out saying, wait a second, you're going to dilute us, you're going to pay a premium for Shari stock, and what do we get out of it? And you might imagine there's some frustration in the Ellison camp in the sense of they can't really explain their deal. They don't yet really have that deal fully in place. But I can give you some sense, at least based on any number of conversations I've had with people close to and familiar with their thinking, as to what they're talking about. First of all, you still need to negotiate an exchange ratio by which Paramount would essentially buy Skydance. That is part of this deal. It's not a one-time deal where they just buy control of National Amusements. They've linked the two. National Amusements got to buy that. You also need to get a special committee that agrees that you can merge Skydance into Paramount. So you need Paramount to come up with an exchange ratio. That's being negotiated. They're narrowing that range. And in fact, next week, for the first time, Ellison's group, the Ellison Redbird group, is going to begin conducting due diligence at Paramount. They are having meetings with management, and that process is beginning. So they're deep into this. They haven't yet agreed to, though, an exchange ratio. And as I have reported a number of times, beyond the equity that would be exchange for Skydance, you would also have an additional equity issuance by Paramount, for which Redbird, Ellison, Larry Ellison, KKR, which owns some of Skydance, would step up and buy more equity. That would be used in part to delever and do a number of other things. The plan on the part of Ellison is to radically restructure Paramount, massively cut costs in terms of rationalizations, and get the stock to, frankly, they believe what could be multiples of the current price. That's their hope and their plan. That, by the way, is what Sherry Redstone has signed off on right now. Despite the fact that, from what I've heard, there may have been a couple of opportunities she had to sell National Amusements, and only National Amusements, at a higher price than she has agreed to currently with Ellison, because she believes in this plan. And she would remain a shareholder, by the way, in the new pro forma company, holding on to her common, her non-voting stock. Will it all happen? What are the synergies, for example, available? Could it be $1 billion? Could it be $2 or $3 billion in synergies? They aren't certain, but they certainly have a good deal of confidence, Jim, that in fact they can reduce costs, delever, and essentially restructure Paramount in a way, by the way, that would have reverberations far beyond Paramount itself. Because we talk so often about streaming, direct-to-consumer, whether it's Netflix or Disney or Peacock or Warner Brothers Discovery's Max. And so it will be very interesting, if this deal actually does happen, to see what comes out of it.
I mean, I'm listening to Andy Jassy today, and he's talking about wanting to have all the sports programming he can get. And I look at this incredibly levered, and I think also Warner Brothers companies, and I just think, like, did they just, like, these companies have so much debt.
They have so
How
much
can
debt.
They compete in the new world where the only thing that's watched on regular TV is live sports?
Yeah, and that is the key that we come back to. Bob Iger last week, of course, says, hey, we're going to be solid number two to Netflix. That is the hope for Disney Plus. But the question still is, all right, Warner Brothers Discovery and Max, can you really make a go of it and make it a profitable, strongly profitable business that's growing? And then you get to the likes of a Paramount Plus or a Peacock, and there are real questions in terms of the long-term viability of these platforms if there isn't scale created, if there isn't some sort of consolidation and rationalization. Ellison's got a big plan. Sherry Redstone seems enthusiastic about it. A number of other people I've spoken to seem quite enthusiastic about it. Will it get to the finish line? That is a key question. And by the way, this semi-offer from Apollo of $26 billion, which was simply one letter, as I understand it, didn't do anything to help the special committee, which is going to be under a lot of pressure, is going to want to assemble a very long record here to fight any litigation in terms of what their decision-making looks like. But there hasn't been any more delineation, as my understanding, from Apollo in terms of what that really meant.
Are the thing we're looking at right now, the common stock, does that have anything to do with the things you're talking about?
Yeah, it does, because there will be dilution, but you have to believe that that dilution will be taken on eventually, because you'll have a far stronger company. You'll have a merger of Skydance and Paramount Studios. You'll have a completely different approach that perhaps current management simply is unable to do right now, given the constraints they're under. You will have a rationalization in some way of the streaming service. Perhaps there will be asset sales of some significance. Jim, you know.
But there is a CEO, the name of Bob Bakish. I'm not hearing his name at all in
no,
what you're
no,
discussing.
No. If this plan takes place, David Ellison will be the CEO of this company.
Of the company, it's not this.
The pro forma company, okay. The merger of Paramount and Skydance. And Jeff Shell, our old boss, very much involved in this process as well. He's working with Redbird, and he will have a significant position at the company in terms of helping them reduce costs and do a lot of different things in realizing what they believe are very significant synergies for what is essentially almost a recap, a recapitalization of Paramount. So, yeah, Ellison, Shell, And then Larry Ellison, don't forget, as well, will be involved because he will be a very large shareholder.
If Larry Ellison's involved, I'm a buyer.
There you go, right?
End of story.
That's Paramount for today. I'll send it back to you. Wrap up whatever it is you want to hit before we take a quick break.
Well, look, I think that we have to watch the group that was hurt so badly yesterday, which are the home builders. They were wrecked. And I was, you know, Frank Holland was going over the home builders this morning. And, you know, you take a look at a Pulte home, which was just absolutely crushed yesterday. It lost like a month's worth of gains. And it's making a nascent comeback, not a lot of volume. Watch the home builders. If they don't stay up, David, then people think the CPI was not real. I mean, the PPI was not real. The CPI was. So yeah. Let's watch that group. That's the most important group right now.
And finally, back to M&A, not Paramount. I did note Jassy's comments to Andrew Sorkin in the interview on Squawk Box around the iRobot transaction.
Whoa, man, I was on that too. Isn't that interesting?
I thought they were really interesting in terms of what he was talking about.
It was so interesting,
if you recall, not just from the EU, but also from our own FTC, the small acquisition. Right, of the maker of the Roomba. Take a listen to, though, what Jassy had to say about the opposition they faced there.
It's a really kind of a sad story. It's a great entrepreneurship story where you had this, this American company that invented this product, invented the category, and built a business that was almost $1 billion in revenue. And whenever you build a good business, you end up with company and competition. So they attract these two very large Chinese companies as competitors. And they needed scale, because scale lets you buy components at the right price and invest in R&D. So they merge with Amazon, and the European Commission blocks it because they worry that we're going to feature our vacuum cleaner, their Roomba versus others, which of course is not our model, because we make actually at least as much money selling third-party items as our own.
He went on to say, Jim, basically say they're operating outside the law.
Okay, so I had Shark Ninja on because I said this is the Justice Department play. Justice Department wrecked iRobot. You got to buy Shark Ninja. Now let's see the flip side of what Jassy's actually talking about, the policy implications.
Yes.
I'm trying to make money with Shark Ninja, but Shark Ninja was the winner. So what the Justice Department did was gave this Chinese company the run of the joint. Is that what we want?
No.
Backfire.
No. It's not.
Justice Department is so out of touch with the reality of the business world.
It was the FTC.
It was FTC, but
I believe it was FTC.
But I've got to tell you that Shark Ninja is such a winner up this that you should go buy it. The Chinese stole 51% of it. It's the only thing I've said positively about the Chinese since I've started this job. But Shark Ninja is a winner. Okay, and you can get their stuff at Costco for a fraction of the cost of Dyson.
Take nothing else away from this incredible hour. Shark Ninja is a winner.
Shark Ninja is the winner, man.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
All right, we'll give you a quick bond report before we head to a break as well. Of course, Treasuries were the story yesterday, including that auction that, what was it, a D? Is that what Santella gave it? Where are yields right now? You can see the 10-year down a bit, 4.542. And the two-year note still pushing near 5%, but down a bit on the day at 4.938. Haven't checked in on Trump Media and Tech. It has had a rough debut since de-SPACing, so to speak.
No, of course, there, right?
You could have bought the SPAC, remember? I mean, DWAC at prices far below this, and you would be still up enormously, but well down from those very early days. That doesn't mean the former president's not going to get those additional 40 million shares. He will, because every day that goes by that it stays well above, well, it's already basically done. It just has to average $17.50 for any 20-day trading period, which it will do in the first 20 trading days. But we keep an eye on it for any number of reasons. We're back with Stop Trading from Jim. Okay, let's get to Stop Trading as we wrap up this exciting hour.
What is underneath the market? The ROT, R-O-T.
Okay.
Not ROT from North by Northwest. But Johnson & Johnson has now broken 150. And this is a premier company with a 3% yield, sells at 14 times earnings. That's really low multiple. And this is what you see when you get away from the Magnificent Seven, or you get away from the loved industrials. Sometimes I wonder whether this isn't finally coming to roost that Medicare is negotiating prices.
I mean, they've had a number of headwinds. You've talked often, of course, about talc and the potential litigation there. I don't have any idea what a 20-year looks like, but I'd be curious because sometimes, I mean, these great names, and yet they don't really perform particularly well sometimes. Take a look. What is that? All right, that's not bad. It's terrific.
I want to see that upturn continue because when you buy great companies in our country, historically, you've done well. And J&J's the AAA balance sheet. They do a lot of good things. And the stock has just failed to perform in this period.
All right, I know one of your guests tonight. What else you got?
Okay, I've got Marvell, which is a competitor, you know, it's right up there with Broadcom, very much involved with the data center and NVIDIA, partner of NVIDIA. I've got DocuSign. Remember, that was that, I wanted to ask about that, the non-LBO, non-takeover DocuSign. And then Constellation, which, of course, is, I wish were Victoria. I'm going to push for them because right now it's Modelo, Corona, and Pacifico. Pacifico being the lowest-end beer in Mexico, but you can charge the most for it because people in their 20s love the long neck.
They like the long neck.
Yeah, Rob Sands told me to charge more at Bar San Miguel for the Pacifico than I was doing. He was dead right.
Again, Bar San Miguel.
Done. Now it's Fosforo.
How about you get out of the mezcal business and back into the owning
because of my business? My wife owns Fosforo. I do not. If you want to take on the bacon, I mean, you want to take on my wife, forget about it. Almost slipped there.
Coming up. See you later, by the way. Coming up, we'll have more from Carl. He's in Colorado ahead of tonight's Cities of Success premiere. Also ahead, an exclusive with the IMF's managing director on what she sees as a challenging global environment. Keep it here.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.